Good afternoon. Today's date is November 5th, 2023. The message today is the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. Holy Scripture is Mark, the second chapter, 1 through the 5th verse. Mark, the second chapter, 8th through the 14th verse. Mark the 5th chapter, 21st through the 34th verse. Giving. Proverbs the 3rd chapter, 9th through the 10th verse. Testimony, 12th chapter, and the 11th verse. First of all, I would like to expound on some holy words for definition. The word confirmation. The word free is defined as liberated or released. The word holiness. The word holiness is an adjective. The word holiness is defined as Jesus Christ in prophecy, establishing the life of the righteous in his word. Air. H-E-I-R. The word air is a noun. The word air is defined as beneficiary or successor. Redemption. The word redemption is a noun. The word redemption is defined as forgiveness of sin or forgiveness of sin or remission. It is very important for the church or the believer to understand about the definition of these words, because these words is contained in Holy Scripture for promise. The next word I want to define is miracle. The word miracle is a noun. The word miracle is defined as the manifestation of the work of Christ from impossible to possible. I want to give one more definition. The word promise is a verb. And the word promise is defined as to make a solemn declaration of intent or contract. So it's very important for us to understand these holy words, because these words are contained in the Bible, in Holy Scripture, but canon. The word canon is a biblical word meaning a straight read. So canon is of the biblical content. Because we are to walk a straight walk when we are taught. So we'll be teaching today on miracles. That is a promise and which was given unto the church on behalf of the coming of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ have the gift of miracles. And many others have the gift of miracles. So Jesus Christ is here. He is in revival. He is performing the duties that he was called to perform. So we can be, we as a people of faith, we can have the privilege of being called as a child of God, but we can have other conditions. So Jesus Christ is here performing the work of the apostle. He is in prophecy, meaning our Heavenly Father called him and established him for the work of the gospel. So I want to start here with the second chapter of Mark. Mark is the person who is responsible for the writing of the book. He's one of the ones that was the author on behalf of the book of Mark. So I want to start right here at the second chapter in the first verse. Jesus Christ is operating and working with the gospel. He is working with the gift of miracles, because the people here, they have conditions which is unnatural. So Jesus Christ is here confirming that he is doing the work that he was called to do and that he was ordained to do. First verse of the second chapter. And again, he entered into Capernaum. After some days, it was noised that he was in the house. So the people, they're very excited about Jesus Christ, because they knew that Jesus Christ was the called one and the anointed one with the work and the promises on behalf of the word of God, on behalf of the gospel. Second verse, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. So Jesus Christ is here sermonizing and giving a word to this people. So he's very famous now. He's famous because our Heavenly Father is working with him. He have the Holy Ghost. So he's here performing the duties that was promised to the church. So we need to know what are the benefits of the life of Christ if we are developed in his word for his holiness. Many don't understand the benefits of the work of the gospel, but we have promises here in which was promised to the church for living. So many, they are called of Christ. They are of the faithful, but they have conditions. So many were sick. So Jesus Christ is here performing one of the promises. One of the main promises is, one of the main promises is, whereas we have authority to go through the process for change, for the conversion. Whereas we are developed in his word for the new life. I want to run over here. I wasn't intending to do this, but I want to run over here to to the 10th chapter of Romans and the right about the 8th verse, how that we as a people who are called of Christ to be a part of his word and the new life. So we're Romans to the 10th chapter. Now we should not make these oaths except if we understand the process. We don't have a way to understand the process except if the Lord put a leader in front of us to give us that knowledge and that understanding. So here, these steps should not be taken except one is ready for the responsibility of being a part of the process, whereas there's a leader there, and that leader is qualified to lead the people through this process so that the person can be effective for this word. So here I want to start here from the 10th chapter of the book of Romans to the 8th verse. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So here the writer is giving a clear understanding on behalf of the change, the new birth. So the writer is here giving a word of prophecy that what saith it? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, meaning the word is available to you, even in thy mouth. So when we get ready to repeat words, those words is to be honored. So we always want to make sure that when we are going to make an oath, that we are that our intent is to retain that oath and be responsible for the fullness of the work of that oath. So if we do make an oath on behalf of the word of God, that's the first step. That's the process in which we give our authority. We give our authority to the leaders to lead and guide us through these steps. And we need to continue to walk with that leader until we are completed. That's just the first step. 8th verse, I want to start all over again here. 10th chapter of Romans and the 8th verse. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, meaning available to you, even in thy mouth. So the word should be in our mouth if the Lord have given us the privilege of being born of his word. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith. So these steps is faith steps, which we preach. Which we preach, meaning which we introduce and which we preach and which we give out to those whom was chosen by Jesus Christ. 9th verse. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So there's no limitation here as to who can repeat these words and get the effectiveness of a new life. So we're not just repeating these words just to be saying something, but we're repeating these words because these words is written in Holy Scripture. So Paul is the apostle that's on the scene here. Paul is introducing the church, giving an introduction on behalf of the word of faith. So the people that he is speaking on behalf of is people who was chosen. So these are faith people. Ninth verse, I'm going to go back over the ninth verse. If thou shalt confess, making a confession, that is a serious step to confess, make a confession. That's putting up a serious responsibility to retain that confession or that work. Ninth verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt, that's a promise, thou shalt, S-H-A-L-T, be saved. If you're supposed to go through that oath, that work, those words, 10th verse, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when one make this confession, they are making this confession in this manner with these words unto salvation, meaning that they are giving their authority to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ with words of confession. So there's another time we make a confession. That's when we are getting married. We make confessions. We make promises. So those promises is not to be broken or not to be removed from our words. So our words is very, very important. When we make a confession, we want to be ready to make that confession and responsible for every word. I want to run back over here. I'm working right here on behalf of the righteous making a confession on behalf of their salvation. It's the 10th chapter. If you have your Bible, run over here to the 10th chapter of Romans and the 8th verse. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Nigh. So the writer here, Paul, is the one that explained and gave the opportunity to those who were called of Christ to be of the life of righteousness. But what saith it? But what saith, S-A-I-T-H, it? That's a question. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, meaning the word is available in your mouth. Why? Because he's talking to those who are of the faith, are called into the faith in the word of God. Even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. So Paul was one of the ones. He's the apostle over in this location, in this nation, in the Roman nation. So he's given a word here of introduction. He's given a word of introduction here that this is the word that they are preaching, they are sermonizing, or this is the word that they are introducing. Ninth verse, that if thou shalt confess, confession, what is the, how does the word, how is the word confession defined? When we make a confession, that means that we are making a promise. So making a promise means to make an oath. So when we make an oath, we want to be responsible. So we don't want to just make an oath because we don't have anything else to do, but we want to make an oath when we are going to be responsible for the completion of the work so that we can be completed in Jesus Christ for all of his promises. Ninth verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So when one take these steps and believe it in their heart, then they shall be saved. From what? Their sins. So if we are saved from our sin, when we make this confession, well, we still have other steps to take. We need to think about going before the Lord by prayer, by faith, and asking the Lord about the trustworthiness of the character that is there in front of us for leadership, because we need to grow. That's just the first step. 10th verse, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So with the heart, we can believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The word salvation is defined as redemption. And the word redemption is defined as forgiveness of sin. So once we are forgiven of sin, we still need to, at least once a month, repent, even if we don't think we did anything. Now, we're not necessarily intending to go and do any more sin in our heart, but I think it's good to keep ourselves in the clear by continuing to repent. Now, if you don't think you did anything, then it's not necessary for you to repent. But that repentance, meaning to ask for forgiveness with the one that you think that you did wrong to. Maybe you did feel well one day and you was not in the right mood, so you said some words and it offended a spouse, or maybe you offended your children or your best friend. At that time, we need to ask for forgiveness from that person to person, and also ask in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness. That clears us, because once we make those confessions, that put us in a condition whereas we as a people is clear. So we don't need to think that we are to, we don't need to think that because we went through that confession that we don't ever need to repent again. I thought that when I was first developed in Christ, in his word, I thought that that was it. But it's not. Why? Because we're still on the earth. We can make mistakes. We can have moments when we are in the wrong. As far as attitude, maybe you don't understand some of the details of the characters of your friend. Maybe you don't have proper training for, maybe we don't have proper training for respect. Or maybe we don't know our friends that well. And we said, we spoke something with an attitude and that could hurt our friends. So at that point in time, we, as those who are developed in the Word of God, we need to ask for forgiveness on behalf of what was said, of what was done, because we can cause some negative attitudes to develop with our thinking. Our words is very important. Those of us who are of this confession, we have a responsibility to continue in our repentance, continue in the salvation of the work of Christ. So what I'm going to be explaining today about, I'm going to be explaining and teaching on behalf of the miracle working power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is here in the second chapter of Mark. He is working as the apostle, and he is performing a revival because these people are people of faith. They do have salvation, but they have conditions. The second chapter of Mark and the first verse. And again, he entered into Capernaum after days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Why was it noise? Because Jesus Christ is in power. Jesus Christ has the Holy Ghost. So he's here performing the work of miracles because the people have conditions that they don't know how to develop themselves out of. Many were sick, but they're still holy people. Second verse, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word of God. So as Christ is here sermonizing the word of God, preaching the word of God, giving a word to the people, he is developing the faith of people. So if I'm ministering what I am doing, if I'm preaching and giving a word, what I am doing is elevating everyone that's in my presence for the faith, for their faith to develop for whatever reason or whatever word I'm speaking on behalf of. So what I am doing, the reason why I did speak on behalf of the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, the reason why I spoke on behalf of that word is because I am working with the word of God to elevate the faith of those who believe in the word of God. So Jesus Christ is here working. He is in a revival. A revival brings about a work called miracles. But Jesus Christ, first of all, he was preaching, given a word out of his spirit on behalf of a word from our Heavenly Father, because he's in prophecy. When I say a man or a woman is in prophecy, that means that I am saying that our Heavenly Father is the one that is confirming the work, because our Heavenly Father is the person that gave and commanded the work to be done. So Jesus Christ is here giving a word to a people whom is there to receive that word. So that word is not just to come forth without any kind of effectiveness. So when we follow the teacher or the pastor or the apostle, we are expected when we do to receive that word and receive the spirit of that word so we can live. Third verse, and they came unto me. Excuse me, I want to correct that statement. Third verse, and they came unto him. Whom is him? Jesus Christ, bringing one sick, a paralytic man. He's crippled, which was born of poor. Fourth verse, and when they could not come nigh, when they couldn't get close enough, the word nigh means close, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. So if you've ever been in a revival that is oppressed, there's many people who are seeking help from Almighty God. Here we have Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ was called to do the work of the ministry, the work of the gospel. This word miracle is defined as a manifestation of the work of Christ from impossible to possible. The word miracle is a noun. So we can be in an impossible situation. You know why? Because we are on the earth in the natural. We are of the flesh. So we can need a miracle, because a miracle, what a miracle does, if the leader is working with Almighty Jesus Christ, and here Jesus Christ is working with our Heavenly Father. So he have the gift of miracles, because the people were in a horrible condition. So this particular person is crippled. He's a paralyzed man, but he is a child of God. So we can be children of God, but that does not mean that we don't need any more help. So we need help when we have conditions. So this man is a paralyzed man. He needs help. So that's why he is here in the revival. A revival brings about much excitement and often much joy. But it's not, a revival is not for a good time. A revival is there to deliver the people out of whatever condition that is there that they can't do anything about. So the paralyzed man is given Jesus Christ the authority to connect with him so that he could get some help. Fourth verse. I'm still working with Mark, the second chapter. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. So these people were desperate. They needed some help. They had heard that Jesus Christ had worked with others, and they received some action which developed them out of some problems that they had for many years. Many had been to the doctor, but the doctor could not treat their condition. But they still needed to be developed out of those conditions. I'm going to run over the Pope verse once again, still working with Mark, the second chapter. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So this is the crippled man, palsy, is P-A-L-S-Y. Fifth verse, when Jesus saw their faith. Now, so these people here, they have faith in the word of God. They have faith in Jesus Christ. They have faith in the work because they had heard about it. And the fact that they had heard about it, they know that the people that had been in those services had received some help. Fifth verse, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So Jesus here also have authority to forgive sins. So he not only is going to lay his hand on this person, or he's not only going to work with this person because of his condition, but he's also encouraging him to take one more step and know that he is forgiven. This man is forgiven of his sin, and also he is receiving a healing, because Jesus Christ is here working with the gift of healing, which produces miracles. He's working with the gift of healing. So had not this person do have faith, but if this person had not decided to come to this meeting for this service, for that need that he had, then he probably would not have had the opportunity to receive this process for his healing. So I'm going to run down here to the eighth verse. And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye? The word ye is a old word for you, ye, Y-E. But today we use that word as Y-O-U. Why reason ye or you these things in your hearts? So Jesus perceived it, meaning he could understand the thoughts of their heart, that they were in question. Ninth verse, where is it, where, I'm going to start this work, this ninth verse all over again, excuse me. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palace, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. So the crippled person here has been healed. But Jesus Christ is here working with a word. He have authority with our Heavenly Father. Since he have the gift of healing and of miracles, he have authority here also to speak a word with a person and speak their healing. He have that kind of a gifting. 10th verse, but that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palace, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. 12th verse. So here's the results of this word. So at this time, Jesus was not, he didn't have to lay his hands on, but laying hands on was, laying his hands on was a part of the practices and the details for deliverance. Deliverance, that word is defined as to transport from one place to another. So Jesus here have a deliverance ministry. He have our Heavenly Father there working with him and the Holy Ghost. And so now the people here is getting a good results because of their faith. So they believe in Jesus Christ. They believe in the Word of God. So they were here in this great service, which is a revival. So Jesus Christ is here working with the gift of healing and miracles, because this man, he have been crippled all of his life. So he was bedridden. So Jesus Christ had the authority and the power of faith to speak a word with the people, and that word developed that person out of that condition. The 11th verse, I'm going to read this once again. I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. 12th verse, and immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, meaning that they glorified God because the work was done to deliver this person out of a condition that he have suffered from many years, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. So they had never seen that level of development for a person's faith. But they saw it then because they was in that service. So often we do need to be in those services if those services is called by Jesus Christ. If the person, the leader, the pastor, the teacher, in this instance, I am teaching. I'm teaching about the word of God on behalf of healing and miracles. 13 verse, and he went forth again by the sea, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. So he also here have the gift to teach. He is, when a teacher is teaching, that person is should lay down structure. So he is teaching the faithful here how to believe in the word of God. Fourteen verse, and as he passed by, he saw Levi the son of Apphias sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. So I want to run over here to the 5th chapter. If you have your Bibles, you can go with me to the 5th chapter of Mark and the 21st verse. I'm almost about to close here. So when we are born of his word, therefore we have authority to live of and to receive the promises. And one of the promises, this is just a few of the promises. The miracle working power of his word, also the healing power of his word. So Jesus is here demonstrating power. Before who? The faithful, those who are called and those who believe in the gospel in his life on behalf of developing into his word for holiness. So when I say holiness, I am defining the word holiness as the life of prophecy, whereas it's contained in the work of Jesus Christ, which is contained in the work of Jesus Christ for prophecy, establishing the life of the righteous in his word. So Jesus Christ is here performing the work of healing, because this is one of the gifts that was a part of him, is a part of the work of the gospel. Meaning that if we are born of his word, then we are heir, that's H-E-I-R, or beneficiary or successor to the benefits of the work of the gospel. So we have all of that. We have all of this work as far as what we can enjoy. But if there's no workers, we often cannot enjoy the work. But this particular man, he was in the right place at the right time. So it's always important to be in the right place at the right time. It's always important to understand leadership. When we understand leadership and what their role is, as far as work goes, then we can expect to receive of that work. Why? Because we are a part of the word of God by faith. So I'm going to start over here at the 5th chapter in the 21st verse. Fifth chapter, 21st verse. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea, meaning he was close to the sea. So Jesus is still working. He is working in the service of the word of God. 22nd verse. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus. Jairus, he's a ruler. He is a politician. He is a politician in this government. So he is coming to meet Jesus. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. The reason why Jairus fell at his feet, and he's a politician, is because he know that Jesus Christ is doing the work that he was called to do by our Heavenly Father. And there is great effectiveness. There is testimony there that one was in that service and they had a condition. And when they were completed in that service, that they got they were developed out of a condition, those who were sick. 23rd verse, and besought him greatly. So he was seeking Jesus, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, the word pray is request. So Jairus, the politician, the Bible don't say he's a politician, but he is the ruler of He's a ruler in a particular government in this location. So him being a ruler, we call those individuals politicians. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and shall live. And she shall live. So he thinks that his daughter is passing. So he don't want to lose his child. So he is here requesting Jesus Christ to come go home with him so that he could lay his hands, because he had heard that Jesus Christ had laid his hands on some other individuals and they were delivered or developed out of those conditions. So he wanted him. It was urgent that Jesus Christ would go with him to his home so that his child would continue to live. because Jairus had received testimonies that individual people had received deliverance from different conditions. 24 verse, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So throng, that means they was pressing him. That's what happens when you have a true apostle or a prophet in your midst that is working. So our Father is here working with Jesus. Our Heavenly Father is here working with Jesus, and he is getting positive and faith results. 25 verse, and a certain woman, so now this 24 verse is going to continue down just a little bit further, but right now the writer here is changing to another episode. 25th verse, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, 26th verse, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So she had a condition where the doctors could not help her. She had spent all of her money. She's discouraged. My mother, when she was alive, she's deceased now, but when she was alive, she had a blood condition, which was she had cancer in the blood. So she was always having bleeding spells, and she was always in the doctor's care, but the doctor could not help her. The doctor didn't have any answers. So she had a condition where she needed the Lord to heal her. However, she didn't get to any of these kind of service. That's why she passed with that condition. But this particular woman here, she had a condition. So this condition, the doctors they were baffled. They didn't know what to do to help her. They had examined her. They had given her medication, but she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So she had received a testimony. She had heard that Jesus was in the city working, and she had heard about others whom had been delivered out of their condition. So she thought she would go to that service so that she could possibly receive the same results as others that she had heard about. So she was in the service of a revival. So the 28th verse. I'm going back up just one more time, 27th verse. When she had heard of Jesus, she heard of him. So the people were talking about Jesus. They were giving a report. It was talking about his reputation. And when you talk about a man or a woman's reputation, you're talking about works. So Jesus had a reputation of working and healing those who are sick, and also performing miracles, meaning the people were being developed out of impossible conditions and were being restored from whatever condition that they had that a regular person could not help them with. 27th verse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, so she was pressing as well, because there were many people there, pressed behind and touched his garment. I'm going to read this 27th verse. when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, 28 verse. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she had faith that if she could just touch his garments, because why? Because of the anointing, the Holy Ghost. When I say the anointing, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was released in his clothes. So that's how anointed he was, because he was validated by our Heavenly Father to do the work of the gospel for healing and miracles. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. So she had a plague. So that plague, her blood was plaguing her. That means that she had a condition there that no one could do anything about it but Almighty God, Almighty Christ. So when she touched his clothes, she received the anointing from his body, from his clothes. So she was healed of that plague. 30 verse, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Well, he knew that the spirit of a portion of the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit, a portion of the spirit of which was in his life for healing, was removed from his body. So he knew that someone had touched his clothes and had received a good results, which was healing. 31st verse, and his disciples is defined as students, because he was demonstrating the work of the gospel to those whom were following him. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude. Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? 32nd verse. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. 33rd verse. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her body, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And told her all the truth. And told him all the truth, excuse me, not her, and told him all the truth, that she had been restored and healed from a plague that had been in her body all of her life. So she's very excited here, and she is very enthused about this work that was done, because Jesus is there performing the work that he was commanded to do by our Heavenly Father. So when we are born, when we make that confession, we have benefits there. So even if we are born of his word, that does not mean we don't have any other conditions or any other problems. So here she has received a healing. She had received a miracle healing. Verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue, house certain, C-E-R-T-A-I-N, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further. So some of the people, they thought that now they're returning back to the 24th verse, whereas Jesus went with Jairus. So now here at the 35th verse, many thought because Jesus had spent time in another place that Jairus' daughter had passed. But she had not, 35th verse. While he yet spake, the word spake, S-P-A-K, is defined as spoke. There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain ones, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest the master? Master, this word master is defined as perfection. So Jesus Christ is here perfect. He's perfect, meaning that he's perfect, he's righteous, and he is faithful in his character, throughout his whole character. 36 verse, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. So he is encouraging the ruler to just believe in the word of God, just believe in him, believe in the work that he's done, that he is doing. 37 verse, and he suffered no man to follow him save Peter. So Jesus did not want no one to follow him on this occasion for this particular level of work, but Peter and James and John, the brother of James. 38 verse, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult. So the people was disturbed because they thought that the child was passed, and them that wept and wailed greatly. So they was very heartbroken over this child. 39 verse, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado? In other words, why are you making this much excitement about it? And weep, why are you crying? The damsel at this time, this word damsel is defined as girl or woman. The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. So Jesus is confirming that the child is not dead, but she is asleep. So there's nothing to worry about. 40 verse. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talamuthus. I'm going to spell this word. T-A-L-L-T-H-A-C-A-M-I. That word is interpreted as damsel. I say unto thee, arise. So we got an interpretation of that word. He said, I say unto thee, arise, meaning that she is alive. She did not die. 42nd verse. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. For she was of the age of 12. She's a young girl. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. 43 verse. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So Jesus Christ is here in prophecy. He is performing the work that was given unto him on behalf of the gospel and deliverance of the people. So here I'm getting ready to close here. So I'm going to run over here to one more scripture I want to talk about giving. First of all, I like to teach about the nonprofit process. The nonprofit organization can be installed in the church if a pastor or an apostle decides that they're going to give a particular gift out to people for particular needs. Often a nonprofit is therefore given of clothes, of food, or often some individuals have prison ministries or whatever the leader want to give out for. However, many have the wrong idea about the blessing. So if I give into a nonprofit, I am expecting when tax season comes that I will receive a refund. So it's nothing wrong with that. I'm not condemning it. It's nothing wrong with that. But many do abuse that privilege. Why? Because we live in America and we have a law called freedom. So we can make a decision however we want, and for whatever reason we want, be it by faith or what, if it's personal or no. But many think that when they give it to a nonprofit organization, that when they receive, when they go in that process, excuse me, I'm going to remake this statement. So many think that when they give in that nonprofit organization, that the fact that they are going to get their refund back in tax season, that that is a blessing, but that is not biblically supported. However, it is a policy which is set up for, which is a plan for the people who give and assist those who are in need. That is a policy, a government policy, whereas those people, when they give into that nonprofit organization, they can go back and receive their tax, receive that amount that they gave at tax season. So I just wanted to clear that up. That is not the process for a blessing. A blessing is defined as a portion of the profit, of the promise, not profit, but the promise. A blessing, when we are a blessed people and we want to receive the promise, because that is what is in Holy Scripture for the believer. We have many promises. I just spoke of one or two of them. We are heir to the throne of grace. When I say heir, I mean heir. We are beneficiaries to the word of God and what was promised by Jesus Christ to the church for living. We can live, but we want the right idea. We want the right idea so that we can enjoy the privileges that is there within the word of God for living. Okay, so I want to go over here and I'm going to talk about the third chapter of Proverbs and the 9th through the 10th verse. So here, the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. So now I'm working with wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon. So the writer is here giving us a prophetic word on behalf of the steps of giving and how to receive the blessing. I don't condemn the nonprofit organizations. I don't condemn it, but that is not biblically supported for the promises in the word of God for the church. So here the 9th verse, I'm getting ready to close here. The 9th verse of the 3rd chapter of Proverbs. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So the writer is giving direction how we ought to give. Honor the Lord with thy substance. What substance? If I work 5 days, I'm going to use this statement as a example. If I go to work 5 days a week, starting with Monday, at the end of the week, I am expecting to receive what? Substance, a paycheck. I'm expected to receive a paycheck. But if I'm going to work 8 hours or 6 hours or however many hours, if I want to work one day, then I'm expecting to receive pay. That's substance. And if I work 5 days, I'm expecting to work 5 days. 5 days. And on Friday, I'm expecting to receive a paycheck, that's substance. So the writer here is encouraging the people to give the first part. So that depends on your budget. So, but, however you're going to give, the writer is giving us a direction and an understanding and instructions to give the first part. So that means that if you, whatever you develop in your career for working, you give the first part. I always give mine. I put all of mine in the ministry, but that's not what the writer is talking about. The writer is speaking on behalf, giving the first part. So maybe your first part, once you look at your budget, because you got to look at your budget now. You just don't go in your resources and you're not looking at your budget. So your first part could be $10, or maybe your first part is $1, or maybe your first part is 20, or maybe your first part could be 100. However, the writer is encouraging the person that is following this word to follow these instructions. Ninth verse, I'm going to read this once again. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So all that I increase, the writer is here giving me directions how to give it. And then the writer is giving us another level of expectation for growth. We're not just going to give out of our resources and not expect any growth. If we are working, we are expected to grow. We are expected to grow. Why? Because we are laborers. So I'm not just going to give my labor out to a work with a ministry or nowhere else except I can get in a plan for growing. If I birthed a child into the world, what I'm going to do, I'm going to use this statement as a example. If I birthed a child into the world and I'm going to feed that child, I'm going to teach that child starting at birth. Usually starting at birth, we're going to teach the child. First of all, we're going to check to see if the child is healthy. Secondarily, we're going to check to see how to feed the child. So if we feed the child a healthy meal, then we expect in 4 weeks' time that the child has grown. In 2 months, we're feeding the child still. We're feeding the child soft food, something easy to digest. After that detail, we're teaching the child how to speak. Because talking is the most important thing that we can do. When we talk, we want to talk with accuracy and understanding. So we're teaching the child how to say mommy and daddy. We're introducing ourselves to the child. So similar, not the same thing, but similar. But however, we are expecting for the child to grow. And that is the similar process for the believer in the word of God. You should be growing. If you're giving into the gospel with a leader, be it myself or whom, whomever you are releasing your resources to, you should grow. And how quickly should you grow? Well, your growth starts as soon as you start to applying your substance. But you may not get the full results of it for the first few weeks. You may not see the physical. You may not see the physical part of the growth, but you're going to see it if the word that the leader is giving you was, if that word came from that leader's mouth, from his heart, his heart or her heart, if that word came directly from Christ, for them to use that prophecy to lead that people into believing in that word, then if they apply their faith and comply and follow that leader and give according to what is written in the word of God, then that people should grow. They should have growth where? In the place where they apply their faith. Okay, 10th verse. So here the writer is going to give us the results of our giving. 10th verse. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So here the writer is giving the person that was introduced to giving of the first fruits of all his or her increase is giving the person a word here on behalf of their growth. So shall thy barns, B-A-R-N-S. The barn is a place where you keep things, where you keep substance. Usually if it's a physical barn, you keep, you know, you keep cows and chickens and all of those kinds of, you keep those kinds of animals there. So, but here, the barn that this, that the writer is talking about, a place in our Heavenly Father's heavenly. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. That means that person that's being developed like that, they should have the overflow. They should have over amount. They should have over the amount of what they have given. They should be growing in such a manner until everyone can notice that they're growing. Maybe I'm just using this thought as an example. Maybe the person that is given into a particular ministry, not this one particular, but this one as well, if the individuals decide to do so. Maybe they gave and they began to grow a business. Now, work a business, make a decision. If you decide to give into a work in the gospel, what a person needs to do is make a decision and develop a business or work with a career. If you're working with a career or working with a business, whatever business you decide you want to work with, then that business is expected to grow. Why? Because you're giving into the word of God to a leader who is credible to give a word on behalf of receiving a word from Almighty Christ. When we follow a word from Christ who spoke the word to that leader's heart, then we're supposed to grow. We're not still sitting there and not growing. That's not the process. However, there can be some other problems. Some individuals, they are working with a company that is not working with them, so they're not growing in that company. So maybe a person might need to change their location. Maybe they need to change their job or their career. However, they're supposed to grow. So we're not just giving out of our resources and not expecting any of the promise that was promised to be in place for development, for growing. So shall thy barns, this is the 10th verse of the 3rd chapter of Proverbs. Not 10th chapter, the 3rd chapter of Proverbs and the 10th verse. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses, this is a machinery. So that presses is not a natural word. That is a holy word, that is a word which is there on behalf of the place in heaven where our substance is to develop. Presses shall burst out with new wine. So that wine is a spiritual word, which means that wine is there in the place of the word of blessings. So this is the wisdom of Solomon. So he's given us here a word where we can give out of our resources if we decide we want to believe in a particular work in the gospel and a particular leader. Don't leave the leader out, because the person that's leading is the person that's responsible for giving that word out. So if I give that word, I believe the Lord have given me that word. So if a person receive that word and apply their faith by giving out of their resources, whatever the first fruits are, then that person, I'm expecting that person to develop. If you have a career, I'm expecting that person to develop in their career. If you have a business, but make sure you're working, because if you give it out to a person, that person did grow. So then you want to grow as well. So if there's no growth, we need you to contact us and let us know what is going on, because there is growth after following a word of prophecy with a leader. Okay, so I'm getting ready to close here. I'm nearing my end here. So if you have a prayer request, if you have any prayer requests or questions, you may contact us at Silver, S-I-L-V-E-R, at MorningstarGMNetwork.com. Morningstar, I'm going to start all over again with this email, Silver@MorningstarGMNetwork.com, or go to the guest book and leave your information, and we will contact you back as soon as possible. We are asking all faith partners or believers in the gospel to give a donation to assist in the spread of the gospel around the globe, so we may elevate the gospel to the highest form with the media platform. You may give whatever you can afford and expect the Lord to increase your substance and resources according to your faith in his word. That's John, the 6th chapter and the 30th verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met with all, it shall be measured to you again. You can give a one-time, you can give a one-time offering, or you can give weekly or monthly, or you can give a reoccurring fee. You can give a reoccurring fee if you decide to do so. When you reach the website, you may go to the bottom of the screen, S-C-R-E-E-N, to the pay button and give. If you decide that you would like to support this gospel that I'm working with your resources. Okay? And remember to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love yourself, and love your neighbor as yourself. And thank you for joining us. We thank all who join us with their faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord.